So what I want to speak about and share is an idea which I saw this morning when I was looking at my Svarim, a very inspiring idea, and was born out from something which I was thinking about yesterday and the day before. Here we are in the middle of Pesach, and now towards the tail end of Pesach. It's the last day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, and tomorrow is Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Sunday is Yom Tov as well. So we know that historically, the last day of Yom Tov corresponds to the Kriyas Yam Suf, when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, and they marched on, and they came to the Yam Suf, and the sea split. And that's that is the Yom Tov, the last day of Pesach, Kriyas Yam Suf, the celebration and the commemoration of the splitting of the Red Sea. And particularly because we had learned last week about the tremendous power of Pesach, the night of Pesach, and the Yesodos HaEmunah, the foundations of faith, which the first days of Pesach, are designed to inculcate inside of us. And we learned about the three God principles, about Emunah, and about his Hashkocha, his involvement in the world, and his power, etc. So, and we came out of Mitzrayim, we came out and we experienced these absolutely spectacular miracles. The 10 plagues then culminating in the Makkos Bechoros and the plague of the firstborn. And the tremendous elevation, we learned about that also, the tremendous elevation that Jewish people experienced by Makkos Bechoros, that it wasn't done by an angel, it was done by the essence of Hashem himself. And the Jewish people, in order to be spared of that plague, we have to be lifted up to be on the same level. So the cataclysmic transformation of the Jewish spirit and the creation of the Jewish spirit at Yetzias Mitzrayim was unprecedented. And they came out, they all walked out, they came out, the miracles and the matzah, the dough didn't rise. So you wonder, like, what's more? Like, what more needs to be? What more needs to be? And why is there another holiday? And what's going on? What's the message of them arriving at the sea? And then another miracle as well, the splitting of the Red Sea. I mean, all of these things Hashem could have orchestrated. He could have designed and brought about some type of equivalency of the splitting of the Red Sea and the final demise of the Egyptians, which is what happened at the sea, the final demise of the Egyptians. He could have done anything, and he could have orchestrated and brought that about in Mitzrayim itself. So what is happening over here? What is the bigger picture idea of the seven days of Pesach? So that's one question. That was a question which I had myself. But also, if you look in the Chumash, you go through the parasha about Kriyas Yam Suf and the splitting of the sea. So in chapter 12, verse 31, in the Chumash, it says, chapter 14, verse 31, it says about this episode over here, it describes this episode as, the Pasuk says, that the Yiru Ha'am Es Hashem, that they saw, the people saw Hashem at the Kriyas Yam Suf, v'yaminu b'Hashem, and they believed in Hashem, v'moshe abdo, they believed in Hashem. So the Pasuk is emphasizing with the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea, the Jewish people believed in Hashem. And the question begs itself, they didn't believe in Hashem by the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We just spoke about that, the tremendous amun which they achieved by leaving Mitzrayim. So only now the verse says that they believed in Hashem when the Kriyas Yam Suf took place, and they didn't believe, implying that there was no Emunah beforehand. That doesn't make sense. That's one question. Another question is that in this Pasuk itself, it says the people believed in Hashem. If you look carefully, the Pasuk says they feared Hashem and they believed in Hashem. Pasuk says, 14:31, they had fear of Hashem and they believed in Hashem. Now, normally you would expect it to go the other way around. You first believe in Hashem, and that brings you to a higher level of yira, of fear and reverence. But to say that they had reverence for Hashem, and then they believed in Hashem, seems to be out of order, right? And a third question, or maybe a fourth question, is you go back to a few verses earlier and describing the splitting of the sea, it says in chapter 14, verse 22, that when they came to the sea, Yavo b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people came to the sea, and they went in. They came into it. B'soch hayom, they walked into the sea. B'yabosha, upon the dry land. That's referring to the fact that as they walked into the sea split, and then there was dry land beneath their feet. V'amayim lehem choma, the water was like a wall to them on each side of them. That's verse 22, and you contrast that to verse 29. It almost repeats the same thing with very, very small changes. In verse 29, further on, it says, "Vnei Yisrael," and the Jewish people, "Holcha b'yabasha," had come onto the dry land, "Besochayom," into the sea, "V'hamayim lehem choma." So here in verse 29, it reverses the sequence of dry land. From sea to dry land, to dry land to sea. In verse 22, it says they went into the sea, onto the dry land. In verse 29, it says they went onto the dry land, into the sea. Now, don't tell me that's an accident or just poetic license. That's totally not true. Right? There's obviously some kind of significance for that. Another difference as well, in verse 22, it says that the water was like a choma, was like a wall to each side of them. And the word wall, choma, spelled ches vav mem he. But in verse 29, when it says that they walked onto the dry land within the sea, it doesn't say choma with a vav. It's spelled choma without a vav. Now, even though it can still be pronounced as choma, and the vav is silent, but without the vav, could actually turn the word into a different word. And if you pronounce it slightly differently, not as choma, you can actually pronounce it as chema, as fury and wrath. So something's going on over here. Like, why is the second verse alluding to some other connotation of the word choma, not as choma, but as chema, as wrath? So all of these questions need to be understood. Right? Again, to summarize the questions, number one, what is the overarching idea, the message of the last days of Pesach after we've achieved such heights of spirituality and emunah on the first days of Pesach, and then to now the verse to say, with regard to the Kriyas Yamsuf, that's when it says that they believed in Hashem, implying they didn't believe in Hashem beforehand. So that's two questions. And the third question is, why does the verse reverse? Why do the verses reverse the sequence? In the first verse, it says they went into the sea upon the dry land, and the second verse, onto the dry land into the sea. Why does it do that? And fourthly, why does it change? What's the allusion in the variation of the word choma to chema, implying fury or wrath? What's going on over there? So the Medrash says, there's a Medrash which says the following. It says that the relationship between the first days of Pesach and the last days of Pesach, the relationship is like that of the first day of creation in contrast to the last day of creation. The Medrash says, Ki shivas yemei Pesach, the 7 days of Pesach, are keneged shivas yemei Bereishis. They correspond to the 7 days of creation. V'yom ha-shevi'i, and the seventh day, corresponds to Shabbos. So the first day of Pesach is the first day of creation. Last day of Pesach is Shabbos. So there's obviously a deep connection and a sequence, because the 7 days of creation, the 6 days of creation, followed by Shabbos, are the sequence of creation. The culmination of creation is Shabbos. We've spoken that many times before. The culmination of creation is Shabbos. So therefore, the culmination of the experience of the creation of the Jewish people is happening tonight and tomorrow. You have to look at it that way. We have to understand that that's what this Medrash is implying, that there's a culmination of creation, a culmination of the creation. The physical world was created in 7 days. We as a people are being created in the course of 7 days. Now, it's important to realize that this is the creation of ourselves. We learned this yesterday, Joe and Rob and I, we learned this yesterday, that at the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, there was the creation of the Kedushas HaGuf, the sanctity of the holiness of the Jewish people, being prepared to receive the Torah at Mount Sinai. the Torah Mount Sinai, the instructions of the mitzvahs to be given to this now holy people, which is being created at Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the culmination of the creation of this Kedushas Aguf, the culmination of the creation of the Jewish people, is happening tonight and tomorrow and then Sunday as well for outside of Israel. It's the culmination of creation. But exactly what is it? Exactly what's happened? What is this culmination of creation? And again, especially in light of the fact, and I'm really articulating this question for myself, especially in light of the fact that there's so many beautiful ideas and so many important principles which we learned about on the first days of Pesach, about Amunah and Hashgacha. We learned the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, that Yetzias Mitzrayim is supposed to teach us all of the principles of Amunah. We learned during the Haggadah as well, the different aspects of the Haggadah, how the latter part of the Haggadah is to teach us about the principles of Amunah and faith, about the future redemption and about Mashiach. I mean, everything is in the first days of Pesach. Everything is there. So what could be missing? What really could be missing? I mean, I don't know if everyone else felt this way, but I felt I was on a high when I was eating that matzah, when I took the matzah out of the package before the Seder began, right? So I was opening the box. It was the first time I was seeing the matzah shel mitzvah for this year. So I was taking it out of the box and I was doing it very slowly. And I was contemplating on the fact that this is, you know, this is the first time I'm going to be seeing the matzah for this year. This is going to be the special matzah shel mitzvah. So I was taking it out of the box, and I remember now it's etched in my memory. The first piece of matzah which I saw was beautiful. It was like, almost like it was glowing. It had this like glowing look to it. This is it. This is my matzah for the evening. I put it onto the table. Fortunately, it wasn't broken. I wasn't sure if the first piece was going to be broken or not. It was a whole piece. It was good. I put it onto the table. I made sure to put it in the right position to be the primary mitzvah, the matzah, which we make hamotzi on and asher kiddushanu on. I mean, it was, you know, now eating the matzah, closing my eyes, thinking about Amunah, thinking about Hashgacha, thinking about the power of Hashem. What more do we need? So Baruch Hashem, I saw this mimer over here. This is a mimer from one of the svarim I have, Yerach Lemuadim. And he really addresses this. He addresses it, and he really teaches us a very, very, very important idea, a very, very global and very global idea for our lives in general. So he bases this upon a Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the Rishonim in the Gemara, Rabbeinu Yonah. So he is describing Yetzias Mitzrayim, and is really describing the Amunah that the Jewish people had, which they achieved in leaving Mitzrayim. But he uses one word which really changes everything around. And he writes as follows. He says, "Kashiro Yisrael nisim v'nifloyos," when the Jewish people saw the miracles and the wonders, "Shahosi mahem abore," that Hashem was doing with them, "Shalo kativo shalolam," unnatural, supernatural phenomena which was happening, "Bitchu bo," they trusted him. The Alzenema, and about this it says, "V'yar Yisrael as a yad gadola," they saw his great hand, "Asha'asa Hashem b'Mitzrayim," that Hashem used in Mitzrayim, "V'yiru ha'am as Hashem v'yaminu bo," the pasuk which I quoted before, 14:31. They had fear of Hashem and they believed in him. But I don't know if you notice the word which he uses, "bitchu." He translates or he interprets the word Amunah as bitachon, as trust. There's Amunah and there's bitachon. They're two different things. They're oftentimes conflated together, but it's important to realize there are two great principles about Amunah, and there's Amunah stage one and there's Amunah stage two. And they're two different ideas. Amunah stage one, and again, many times we'll use the word Amunah to apply to bitachon and some of the bitachon for Amunah, but strictly speaking, very, very important to know the difference between Amunah and bitachon. There's a principle of Amunah and there's a principle of bitachon. What is the difference, essentially? The difference is, in the words of the Chazon Ish, which I'm going to read to you now from the very, very famous book called Faith and Trust, which is all about this, the whole work just all about this very subject, about Amunah and bitachon, about faith and trust. He basically says, the difference between Amunah and bitachon is the difference between theory and practice, between having faith and belief in theory and having faith in practice. So I'm going to read to you what he says, and it's very, very inspiring. He says, faith, sorry. He says, trust. Chapter one of the book is all about faith, but the rest of the book is all about trust, bitachon. And he says, there's an old misconception rooted in the hearts of many when it comes to the concept of trust in Hashem, known as bitachon. He says, it's mistakenly become a term to describe the obligation to believe in any situation a person finds himself to be in, where he faces an undecided future with two ways apparent before him, one good and the other not. And bitachon, people mistakenly think, is to think that surely the good outcome will be the one to occur. If one is doubtful and fears the possibility of the opposite of good occurring, he's lacking in trust in Hashem. That's the mistaken notion of bitachon. People oftentimes say bitachon means it's all going to work out okay. It's going to be good. There's going to be choice, possibility A, possibility B. You know, it's going to be fine. It's going to work out to my favor. This understanding of trust is not correct. For as long as the future has not been revealed through prophecy, the future is not decided. For who knows Hashem's judgments and rewards? No. Trusting in Hashem is not that, but rather the belief that nothing happens by chance and that everything that occurs under the sun is the result of a decree of the Almighty. No matter what happens, whether the outcome is pleasant, desirable, to your benefit, that you think is your benefit, it's trusting that whatever happens is for the good. And that could also mean making a wrong choice and going to places or doing things which are not proper, but yet it's all still under the jurisdiction, under the guidance, and under the allowance of Hashem. That's bitachon as well. And even when a person does the wrong thing, makes a mistake, and they do something they shouldn't do, and they shouldn't have done that. Hashem didn't want them to do that. But if they now are in this situation, there is a bitachon which applies. I have to now trust that now whatever's happening is for a purpose. There's still a purpose to be found. When a person encounters an event that, according to the ways of the world, involves personal danger to him, it's natural to fear the ways of the world. His intense feelings weaken his resolve to remember. His intense feelings weaken his resolve to remember that we do not live by chance, and there is nothing stopping the Almighty from saving him and from arranging causes that will change the outcome. When one exercises self-restraint at such a difficult time, and internalizing the known truth that this is not a chance misfortune, but rather it is all from Hashem, blessed be He, for better or for worse. When one allows one's faith to alleviate the fear and give one the courage to believe in the possibility of salvation, when one allows oneself to understand that nothing that one is facing necessarily tends more towards a better outcome than a good one, then one has achieved the trait of trust in Hashem. It's the total reliance that it's for a reason. There must be some type of purpose to this. It's to lean 100% upon a Kodesh Baruch Hu. According to this, faith and trust in Hashem are one and the same. They are the same, but they're two different dimensions of it. It's just that faith is the general approach. When I say faith, amuna is the general approach of the believing person, and trust is the person's approach to himself, with faith being the theory, amuna being the theory, and trust being put into practice. Bitachon is putting it into practice. That's the difference. It's a very, very important idea just to appreciate and to meditate upon, that amuna is the general knowledge, the general faith that everything is happening for a reason, but bitachon is bringing it down to practice into my personal life as well. And that really is the essence of the difference between the first days of Pesach and the last days of Pesach. Because on the first days of Pesach, when you think about what happened to the Jewish people on the first days of Pesach, they were experiencing unprecedented miracles all around them. For a whole year, the miracles of the plagues were differentiating them from the rest of the Egyptians. And they were being saved. And it's true that they had to demonstrate a commitment at different junctures. And Midrashim speak about the fact that the Jewish people distinguished themselves as well in their clothing and how they spoke and their language And they did various things. And then culminating in the fact that they took the Korban Pesach and they expressed their self-sacrifice, their Mesiras Nefesh, and also Bris Milah, another expression of self-sacrifice. But still, they were witnessing the display of miracles around them, not to them. They were protected, but the target of the miracles, the target of the plagues were the Mitzrayim, were the Egyptians. And if we were there and we, you know, we did our little bit, our little part, our small part of displaying our commitment to Hashem with the Korban Pesach, we're still witnessing the Hashgach of Hashem happening almost like external to ourselves. The target is Paro, is the Mitzrayim, the destruction of the Egyptian culture, the Egyptian society. They're being destroyed, and we're excited, we're happy, we're seeing the total downfall of our enemies who have been persecuting us for so many years and preventing us from leaving. And we are just so ecstatic and just so full of jubilation and recognizing it's amazing. Look at the Hashgacha, look at the divine providence, look at the presentation of Hashem in the world. And if we bring that to ourselves on a practical level, to our present day, and you see what happens in the world outside at large, and we're able to see the presence of Hashem, whether it be in a flower, whether it be in the sunrise or the sunset, or whether it be in the how Hashem orchestrates the world with things which happen with wars and with natural disasters. You know, it's all happening around us, and there's so many ways to be able to see and recognize the Hashgacha, the presence of Hashem. You know when it becomes really difficult, though? It becomes horrifically difficult when it happens to us. When we are in that midst of that situation, that challenge and that situation, that threat, that's when the rubber meets the road, whether we really have a moon or not. And that's the difference, because the first time that the Jewish people were put into the position of really putting into practice to display my bitachon, to display that bitachon which I achieved, or that emuna which I achieved on the night of Pesach, to now be put into a position where we have to now put that into practice, they hadn't experienced that. You know, again, the Mesiras Nefesh, which they had displayed by separating the Korban Pesach, you know, I don't remember seeing any comments or midrashim about how the Mitzrayim try to chase after them and try to attack them and try to kill them for taking their deity, for sacrificing, for taking, you know, the lamb and separating it away. It sounds like the way they did this, and the Mitzrayim just remained quiet. They didn't do anything. It was still an act of Mesiras Nefesh. The very first time that this brand new people have to now practically display their unswerving bitachon in Hashem, putting their emunah into practice, is standing at the banks of the river, the banks of the sea. And can you imagine what it was like? You know, I'm coming out of Mitzrayim. I'm so full of joy. I'm so full of emunah. I'm so full of connection, devekas to Hashem. I was singing Shir HaShirim all night long. I'm just full of love with Hashem, and I'm just feeling on top of the world, and I'm walking, and I'm everything so happy. The sun is shining. The grass is growing. The flowers are blooming. Everything is beautiful. And I'm coming there, and the Mitzrayim are destroyed behind me, and I'm walking towards the sea, and everything is great until all of a sudden there's a sea over there. Okay, fine, so we'll go this way. One second, you can't go that way either. Turn around. They're chasing after me. They're chasing after us. I'm now sandwiched between the sea and the Mitzrayim. Okay, now, Hashem says, you know, let's see how much bitachon you have. Let's see where your faith is right now. Do you really have that? Let's see how much faith you really have. What are you going to do in this situation? What are you going to do when the going gets tough? When it really gets difficult and hard, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to really activate that emunah? Do I really have that integrated inside of my emotions and my heart, that bitachon in Hashem? And it's unbelievable. Can you imagine it standing there? The fright, the fear, the trepidation. And what happened? Lemaisa, what happened? Three things actually happened. If you look at the psukim, there are three things that the Jewish people did. The first thing is they screamed out. Pasuk 14, verse 10. V'yitzaku b'nei Yisrael, they cried out to Hashem. Right? And that's good as well, because that's what you're supposed to do when things are difficult. We're supposed to cry out to Hashem. That's our responsibility, our obligation. Turn your fright and your fear and your challenges towards Hashem. cry out to Hashem. However, the Pasuk says later on, Hashem then said to Moshe, Matitzak Eli, is not the time for crying out. Don't cry. Yes, you did cry, and you should cry, and you should daven. No question, that's what you should do. But there's also a role for Hishtadlis as well. Da'abel b'nei Yisrael v'yisa'ol, they should now move on. They should walk in. They should walk into the sea. You've cried out, you've davened, you called out. Now it's the time for action. Now put into action your bitachon, your trust in Hashem that things are going to be okay. And then the final ingredient was at the end of the entire passage when it says, V'yaminu ba'Hashem, they believed in Hashem. And we've learned over here, this is not just believing in Hashem, this is the bitachon. Because in every challenging situation, three things are necessary. One is to cry out to Hashem. The other is to make a hishtadlis, to make a worldly, physical, material effort to deal with the challenge. And the third is the bitachon, is the trust, because sometimes crying out to Hashem is in desperation, is not an expression of bitachon. But the crying out to Hashem has to be in the context, on the foundation of a bitachon, of a trust. Yes, and it's actually interesting. It actually, according to this, and we've learned about this before, that really to feel a prayer is a type of hishtadlis. It's a type of effort. There are two types of efforts we make in achieving our success. One is through physical intervention, and the other is asking Hashem, because praying to Hashem, that's a type of ishtal. But that has to be based upon, it is based upon, the bitachon, the trust, that whatever happens is going to be for the good. And this is the first time the Jewish people had to really put their emunah into practice in this way, on this higher level of bitachon, of trusting in Hashem, that it was going to be okay. And it's hard to even imagine what it would be like. And maybe we can imagine it in the context of personal challenges we have, because the sea in front of us and the warring Egyptians behind us could be likened to any situation in our lives. It could be likened to a challenging relationship. It can be likened to finances. It can be likened to anything in life, where we are faced in every direction. All we see in front of this, I go that way, is a brick wall. I go that direction, there's a brick wall. I should do this. Every direction I seem to turn to, it just seems to be the viscosity and the difficulty and the hardship and the barriers are so real. But bitachon in Hashem, trust in Hashem, requires that no matter what the situation is, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be okay. It's all going to be fine. It may not be comfortable. It may not be a pleasant experience all the time, but it's all okay. That's bitachon. Move forward. Do three things. Have bitachon. Rely, lean upon Hashem. Pray to Him. Ask for help. Cry to Him for success, for help in the situation. But take some kind of action. Take action as well. Do something. And what do we see happening over here for the Jewish people? There was one person who actually did fulfill these three things. He was part of those who cried to Hashem. He had bitachon as well, but he also moved on and he walked into the sea. He put that faith into practice and he walked into the sea. Nachshon ben Aminadav. And there were those who followed him as well. And that's exactly when the miracle happened. That's when the miracle took place. The nays happened and then the sea split. So says the Vilna Gaon, that verse 22, which says that they went into the sea upon the dry land, refers to that group of true Bali Bitachon, those true people who really had that higher level of Bitachon in Hashem. They walked into the sea. They had that Bitachon, they walked in. They walked into the sea, B'soch Hayom, B'yabosha, upon the dry land, because afterwards the dry land appeared because the sea split. And the sea became a choma, a wall to each side of them. Choma spelt with a vav. But there were other people, many other people, as much as they had achieved the emunah that they'd achieved in Mitzrayim, they didn't have the true level of, the highest level of emunah, to the level of bitachon, and they needed to wait for the sea to split before they were willing to go in and take the action and do what they needed to do. And they waited for Nachshon and his group to go in. And therefore, verse 29, when it says that they went onto the dry land, into the sea, onto the dry land, is that second group. They went onto the dry land because now the sea had split. Now there's dry land. Now they walked in. They followed in afterwards. And then the water became a choma, was a wall to each side of them. But in that pasuk, verse 29, it spells the word chum without a vav, because without the vav, it can be read as chem, as fury, as anger, because there was a dimension of a divine wrath against those people who didn't put into practice the amunah that they've achieved in Mitzrayim, and they did not display that bitachon. And therefore, it was an indictment upon them that they hadn't had that higher level of bitachon, which they could have had, which the others did have, which they were supposed to have. And that's the lesson. That mamish is the difference between the first days and the last days of Pesach. This last days of Pesach is amunah in practice. It's putting amunah into practice. And that's why the pasuk in verse 31 says, V'aminu ba'Hashem, they believed in Hashem, because amunah on the higher level of bitachon, they reached that higher level of bitachon. The Jewish people collectively, perhaps as the result of the Nachshon and Aminadav group, they reached that higher level of bitachon. And they, V'aminu ba'Hashem, they believed in Hashem on that higher level. And that's why that pasuk also is preceded by the word V'yir'u. They had fear. What was the question? The question was, don't you have fear after you have amunah? It depends. You have fear after level one of amunah. Level one of amunah was from Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was level one. And V'yir'u, they had fear. They already had the level of fear. They had a reference already. But it hadn't yet reached the level of bitachon, which was the second level. V'yir'u ba'Hashem, v'yaminu ba'Hashem v'Moshe Abda. They believed in Hashem. V'yaminu ba'Hashem v'Moshe Abda. And they reached this high level of bitachon in Hashem after the year, after the reference, which was founded upon the level one of amunah, which was from Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's the difference. This is why last days of Pesach are essential. This is the opportunity to put into practice our amunah. And to, now, we don't wish upon anyone we should be faced with the kind of situation on the last days of Pesach that the Jewish people had. But we can all think about and imagine or just relate to the challenges we have. We all have challenges. Relate to any challenge we're going through today, tomorrow, Sunday. Relate to those challenges. Meditate upon those challenges and relate to those challenges like a Kriyas Yam Suf or like the Yam Suf, that it feels so daunting. It seems so difficult. It seems so overwhelming. Just think about it. Yep. You know, whatever challenge you have, pick a challenge. Pick the challenge and it feels like it's gone on for years. Take that challenge. Imagine it and translate that, transpose that challenge or transpose the Yam Suf upon that challenge. And think about what the Jewish people did towards that challenge and that they expressed their amunah. So practically go back to the first night of Pesach. Think about whatever nugget, whatever kernel, whatever nugget of amunah we had on the first night of Pesach. And now radiate that upon the challenge of the Yam Suf, which I'm now facing, and meditate and to think about, let me put this amunah into practice, that it's not just the amunah in Hashem out there, it's not just the belief in the Hashgach of Hashem out there, but it's the belief in the Hashgach of Hashem in my personal life, in this challenge right now, in this situation which I didn't wish for, which I don't want, which I wish wouldn't exist, and now radiate my bitachon upon that situation, to have bitachon, to know it's all for the good, it's all for the good. Cry out to Hashem in that vein. Make an effort, do whatever you need to do. Make an effort, make a hishtadlus, do whatever we need to do. But relate to this properly at this more elevated level of bitachon in Hashem in whatever is happening. The Nesiv HaShalom, Slonim HaRebbe, says that in the Pasuk, it says, Lahagid baboka chastech v'aminosach ha-beleilos, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, that we relate in the morning his chesed and his amunah, we relate your amunah to Hashem in the night times as well, right? That's the Pasuk in Tehillim. So the Nesiv HaShalom says, what is amunosach ha-beleilos? Your amunah beleilot, beleilos. Plural, not Belaila, Belelos. Now, one interpretation is the nights of life, the nights of life. The Nesiv HaShalom writes, he says, it's Meramez Lashnei Leilas Bashan. It alludes to there are two nights of the year. There's Lel Tesvav Nisan, the night of the 15th of Nisan, or Lel Shavi Shal Pesach, and the night of the 7th day of Pesach. Shebishnei Leilas Eilo, on these two nights, Hayashnei Me'oros Atzumas Laklal Yisrael. These were two awesome events happening to the Jewish people because they came to the Kriyas Yam Suf at nighttime. They were faced with this threat at nighttime, split in the morning. These two nights, these two awesome events happened to the Jewish people on two nights, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yam Suf, Ubishneyam, and with both of them, Zechinu lechizuk v'ashras amuna b'nafshenu. With both of those two events, we achieved a chizuk, a fortification, and rooting into ourselves of amuna b'nafshenu, into our spirits, on these two levels of amuna and bitachon, and we achieved everything. Now, with this, how can we not have a Shvi'i Shel Pesach? How can we not have a last day of Pesach? It's the opportunity to put into practice the amuna we achieved on the first night, and therefore may we be zocha to live amuna through bitachon every day of our lives.